That song that Doug led this morning, The Church is One Foundation, that has been a very precious song to me. I mean, it's just, it's full of a message that it's just full of the love of God to us. The message in that song is just tremendous, and it goes many ways. It's not just, you know, it's not just a singular message, but just when you think of the church, what do you think of when you think of the church? You know, where did the church start? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And you all know Peter's famous answer to that. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There was a confession with his mouth. And then Jesus said, "I say." Did you get it? Jesus said, "I say," and you know when Jesus speaks? I mean, this thing's for real. I mean, it's going to happen. "I say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not" what? "Prevail against it." You know what? When God says something, when Jesus said that, the church of God was, I believe it was started right there, really. I know that we have the Christians first in Antioch. I know that. But there was something that started right there when Peter declared that. And I want to just tell us this morning, I believe that that is how God continues to build his church. It's upon our declaration of who he is, and not just our declaration, but our action on what we have declared. It is that action that goes forward, that thing that believes God to be true and what he said he's going to do. And so that song has been a precious song to me, and my aim here is to have a series of messages that if I ever get called upon to go somewhere, you know, I had somebody ask me to come and do a weekend, you know, it scared me so bad, I told him I probably shouldn't do it. And so I wanted to have something, you know, by the grace of God, and God brings different messages. I don't want to at all put something down in stone that, you know, I can't do anything different, but I want to go through verse 1, I did last Sunday, verse 2 this Sunday, then 3, then 4 and 5. I'm going to skip 3, only because, and it's a bad verse, but it's I didn't learn the song with verse 3 in it. And so I learned it with the other verses, and so that's what my aim is. You can pray towards that end if you would. But let's just pause for a word of prayer as we consider this thought. Father, we bow before you, the almighty, eternal, immortal, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light. Lord, you're this high and almighty God who Isaiah saw and he was trembling, and who John saw just a angel, a being sent from God, and he was trembling. And there's every time somebody saw a being from God, they fell on their face and they worshiped, and they fell on their face and they worshiped. Yet, as I think of this angel, he said, "Don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant." And what a blessing that is to see here today that you alone, God, are worthy of worship. You alone, God, the eternal almighty one, the one who is dwelling here, the one who would come and put this treasure in earthen vessels, the one who is here today, the one who is bringing life, and the one who each one of us are attached to by a cord, by a lifeline, and it's coming and it's giving us life and it's forever there, Lord, and we come boldly to this throne of mercy. And it's you, O God, we want here today. It's you, O Father, that we desire to come today. And God, that you would minister to the hearts of each one of us here today, God. That you would touch us, Lord. That you would fill us, O Father. That, Lord, that we wouldn't leave here the same. God, we don't want this day to be fruitless in your kingdom for TCA, Father. But that, God, that our hearts would be changed and we would be drawn towards you. That we'd be drawn towards the Father. Oh God, that is our aim and goal here today, Father. And I know, God, that is your will as well. And so we bless you this morning for that. And we bless you for each one that is here. God, would you anoint this time? Would you bless each one? Would you make my words clear, Father? Would you make your words clear, I should say, God, that you would come and use these lips to speak your words. And Father, as they go forth, that the Spirit would take these words and bring it to plant, and it would grow into the hearts of each one of us, Father, that life can happen, Father. Life would happen because, Lord, that is exactly what you want to do. You want to be 100-fold fruit coming out of this one, Lord, and we desire it too, Father. So we just thank you for that and desire to walk in your holy will. Father, we want nothing more than your will to be done. And as Christ was upon this earth, that's what he said, and that's what we desire. So we bless you for that. Just be with us, guide and direct us, Father. We just thank you that you are here. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we sang the song this morning. I don't want to sing it again today, or this afternoon, or this forenoon, whatever it is. Now turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read the verse there that I want to talk about today. In the song, it says, verse 2, it says, "Elect from every nation, yet one over all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued." And you know what? There's just a lot of doctrine in this thing. There's a lot of stuff that we can take away from it. And there's a lot of life here, and that we just want to hear that today. And notice, I want to say one more thing about the church. You know, here we are this morning, and there's a few empty seats, and you know, that's okay. You know, when Peter was caught up in the Spirit, and he went, and he was caught up in the Spirit, taken to that Ethiopian eunuch, and he was this eunuch was sitting on his chariot, driving along, reading Isaiah, and Philip asked him, "Do you know what you're reading?" Did I say Peter? I meant Philip. So I said, "Do you know what you're reading?" He says, "No, I don't know. Somebody needs to tell me what this is." And so he tells him all about Christ, and he says, "What hindereth me from being baptized?" And so, you know, they did. There was water right there. He said, "There's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And they went to the water and was baptized. And you know what? That's part of the church right there. Two of them. Where two or three are gathered. Where two or three are, there Christ is in the midst of them. You see, God doesn't look down and say, "You know what? It's just not worth it going down there today. I think I'm just going to not go there." He didn't say that. He's here. He's here and he's filling each one of us. What a blessing. And so we had a pretty good discussion somewhat in Sunday school there, a little bit of the elect from every nation. I just want to just have a few words about that. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, there it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation." And see, that's what the blood of Christ does, and elect from every nation. The church is one over all the earth. There is, when I am here, or whether I am over in China, there is a kindred spirit there. And it's the Spirit of God dwelling within us. When the Spirit of God dwells within us, there is a connection there. There is a oneness there. And what my main focus today is unity, the oneness here as a body, as this song speaks about. There's one Lord, one faith, one, as you go through there in Ephesians 4. And that's my focus today, is this oneness within the body of Christ. And whether it's here or over there, there's still a oneness throughout. And now, as I said earlier, there can be a oneness with two people. There can be a oneness with 1,000 people. There can be a oneness. There's a oneness over all the earth with the people of God, the church of God. And you know, Christianity, it works the same no matter the culture. It works the same thing out of people no matter the culture. And it's not time limited. Except, can we say, by the dispensation of grace that we live in, okay? But that works the same. It's not time limited. Christianity works. It's not bound by culture anywhere. The blood of Christ has the ability to change the poorest or the richest, and everybody in between. This is what this blood does. And I just want to go back again to last Sunday. Last Sunday we talked about the doctrine of Christ and this foundation. I don't know how to review, so I'm reviewing a little bit into my message here now, so bear with me here. But as we look at what we shared last time about the first message on this song was abiding in the doctrine of Christ, and if we don't abide there, we transgress. And we see this theme to a degree carried through here as we look at this saved over all the earth, this one over all the earth. And so now I will stop there except to say one more thing. It is marvelous to note, where did Jesus send his disciples to go first preach this message of forgiveness? It was in Jerusalem, to the very people that said, "Crucify him." I think that's something for us to take a look at. These people who said that very thing, that's where he went first. He went to them first, and what a blessing that is. So unity. I have a lot of things written down here, so I might use my notes a little bit more than I sometimes do, but I'm not ignoring you. I'm not I try to be careful with that. I try to have the message in my heart, but there are just a lot of things here that I want to see today that, and if you'd see my notes, you'd probably wonder how in the world I ever get anything out of it, but that's, I guess, how it is this morning. But unity begins with God, right? I mean, when you think of unity, what do you think of? Unity is a union between people. It's just a union, something that draws people together. When you look at the Godhead, the Godhead is one, yet they are diverse. And that is a part of my message today, is that we think unity is the same thing. I mean, like the cheese curls all look the same, right? I mean, they all come out of the same machine. And they come out and they're baked under the same oven, and they all look the same. But that's not unity. Unity is actually, I don't think that there can be unity except there be diversity. Now let me explain. I am a little careful with that because it was a new thought for me. I think that uniformity is in a lot of different churches, but there is no unity there. I mean, there is a people who look the same, they dress the same, they smell the same, they act the same, they all eat the same thing, and they all do the same thing, and there's a uniformity there, but there's no unity there. And I think the grace of unity, if I may call it that, so I want to look at unity almost as a separate grace from God, like sanctification or justification, something like that. I want to put it over here, okay? And we're going to use it that way here for now. But unity comes out when we have different gifts and we do different things, and we there is maybe even a bit of where I don't agree with you, as in you think differently than I do, and even maybe on a doctrinal issue. Now, I'm not talking about this morning that we condone something. I mean, the fornicator is out, okay? We're not going to, there's no unity there because he's a fornicator, and the Bible talks about fornication is sin. And so we don't do that with him. But in the church, there are so many times when there are church splits over very minute things. And I think that the unity isn't there because when there is this difference, that's when the grace of unity is able to work. And I am able to come and put my arm around you, and in spite of our differences, we can walk forward. And I really think that's what unity is. Unity isn't like the Godhead. You think about that for a minute. You see the different roles that each one of them have? They have a different role. You know, God wasn't sent to the earth to die. There was Jesus was sent to the earth to die. There's the blood of Christ that cleanses men from sin, not the blood of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit couldn't come until Jesus was gone again. Jesus had to go back again for the Spirit to come. And so now the Spirit is here and doing a work that Jesus didn't do while he was on the earth. And God has a work. Yet, in all of this, there is one common goal. Amen? And that's what we have here in church, or that's where unity excels, is when we have one common goal, and in spite of differences, may I say it that way? In spite of differences, we walk together, and there is this desire to lift up Christ. There is this desire to lift up Christ in the body. And you know, that thing doesn't look the same between everybody, does it? I mean, you go to Africa, all right? So now we have a culture here, and Doug mentioned this morning these people who are shouting, and you know, what is worship? And he said that's not, he don't feel that some of that is worship. And I agree with him, yet I think that sometimes we here are just a little bit too quiet. I mean, we don't express this thing. So what I'm saying is, if we go to Africa, you're going to come into a church and you're going to find something that's going to stretch you so far you don't know what happened. I mean, there is drums and there is all kinds of crazy stuff going on that we may say is not of God. But you know what? That's their culture. That's what they were taught. That's what they learned. And you know what? They're doing this thing. They're doing this to the glory of the Father. I mean, their hearts are praising the Lord as they're doing it. And so now I, as a Westerner, can't go in there and make them conform to what I have here in order to have unity. We link arms together and we praise God together. We walk together as a church and as a body here, as a body of believers here in Topeka, if we can link our arms together and walk forward where in spite of our differences, that is where the power of God is. That is where the power of God is, because I should read some verses here before I get too far. Let's just go and read those in verse 4, or chapter 4. I'm just going to start at verse 1. And we're going to read down through 7. Or, yeah, 7, I believe it is. Yep. Verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's what I want to see here this morning. The unity of the Spirit. I'm probably going to have a hard time expressing myself here because this thought was all new to me. I thought that, you know, unity was this all kind of the sameness to a degree, yet I knew it wasn't just uniformity, but I believe that we had to at least be somewhat same. And yes, I think that you can't have unity with a sinner or somebody who's going to a bar. That's what I'm saying here. You hear my heart. It's not just something that we just have unity with everybody and we just get along because the peace needs to rule. That's not what we're talking about. But taking that culture in Africa and you look at them and what ought I to do in the unity of the Spirit? When I look at the unity of the Spirit, what is the Spirit doing there and what is the Spirit doing here? As spiritual men, we have a spiritual union with God, and out of this spiritual union with God comes a spiritual union with each other. It is only when that union with God is there can we have a spiritual union with one another. And, you know, I don't think we can just take this thing and put it all into a box somewhere and say that you do this every time. I think there is differences in different situations when you meet with people that there is a discerning of the spirits. There is a discerning of the spirits and what really is going on here. Because there are many spirits who are against God, and there's many people who do things that are, they worship in a wrong way, in a sensual way, or in whatever it may be. And I think we need to be very discerning with that. But just this thought of unity in diversity. Now let's go on reading. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And you know, as there we have the seven ones, there is a oneness throughout the Godhead. There is a oneness there. There's one faith, one hope of our calling. There's oneness throughout this whole thing. And as a body of Christ, we have this common theme, this common goal of Christ being exalted and lifted up. And you know, you go over to Iran right now, and where there's Christians there, and they're being chased, and they're being persecuted, and they're being killed, and they're over in Syria and Libya, and wherever all that's happening, and you know, then you come over here, you come over here, and you come to church here, and you know, we have so many conversations that never happen over there. You know, they don't have time for it. They're running for their life. They're looking out for their brother, and they're just being careful that they're getting food to eat, and their jobs are lost, and there's just so many things happen there that. And I'm saying that with, well, what are we supposed to do about it? You know, it's not, you know, sometimes it takes those kind of things to really bring that out in people. You go back the 7 years or whatever it was, 2007, as Steve shared the other night, and things were going about like here. It makes you wonder, how was it at that time? How did they see each other at that point in time? And also, before I go too far, I want to just bless you this morning for the unity that is in the church, this grace of one another, this love for each other, and this blessing and lifting each other up. This morning with Beth, I mean, that was perfect, Aaron. I'm so glad you brought that up. And you gather around these people, and you pray for them, and you bless God, and you desire to see them healed. And Edna's being healed, and praise the Lord for that. And we bless God. And there's just a life that flows. And so I share this message today in light of that. I mean, I'm here to encourage you, right? And so I find it interesting that God puts this oneness, this unity, he puts this all right before the gifts. And the gifts go on there in verse 7. I just want to say, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now that tells me that each one of us today have a gift. Each one of us today have a gift. And we may not all know exactly what that gift is, but you know, we see and we watch people, and sometimes it's easier for me to tell you what your gift is than for you to tell other people what it is. But each one of us is given a gift. And these gifts aren't all the same. And the members in the body are different. There is differences in the members in the body. Yet, you look at myself, and there is just a lot of differences in the body, and yet everything is functioning together in unity. The feet and the hands look quite different, but yet they work together. When you run, you know what? Your hands are doing the part of the work. And you know, it's just a working together in spite of the differences in the body itself. I just want to think of building a house. When you build a house, I have about 8 different contractors that come in when I build a house, right? So I have somebody who comes in and they dig the hole, an excavator. He comes in and he digs the hole. Then I have a concrete guy. He comes in and he lays the foundation. This thing is up, and now we're ready for the builder, which is me. I come in and I build it. And then I have somebody come in and blow insulation into the walls. And then I hang the drywall on the walls, and then somebody comes in to mud the walls. And in between that, there's electrical, plumbing, and heating that goes in, and I don't do that. I don't do any of that. And you know, every one of those are very different from each other. They're very different from each other, yet in the middle of this whole thing, all 9 of us have the same goal, is to get this thing done and to have a nice house when we're done. I was going to say to get paid, but that's part of it. But, you know, there's more to it than that. I mean, there is to get this house done, it takes 9 of us with different gifts and different talents and different abilities, and this thing works out to the glory of God, and here's a house. And now, if I would come in, or somebody would come in and start tearing this thing apart, you would soon learn that you want to get rid of him, because he's not being helpful to the end goal in mind here. He's just tearing, he's removing while we are trying to work. And in the same way in the body, when there's somebody who is, oh, I want to be very careful with this, but when there's just somebody who tries to deconstruct what the church is doing to the glory of God, and I share this, and thoughts come to mind, okay, so we should just stay where we're at, and we should never go anywhere else. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a time to move, there's a time to get up, and a time to go, and there's a time to remove yourself from whatever that is that you're part of, because there, you know, there's unity in whatever draws people together. May I say it that way? There's unity in, you need a common denominator, or you need a common reason, or a reason of why we get together, whether it's the bar or the golf course or the Tupperware party or the tea party or whatever the thing is. There's a common goal. There's a reason, and that this brings a united group of people together. And you know, for the Christian, this united reason is Christ and him lifted up. And when we have that goal as a body, each one of us, when we have that goal to lift up Christ, then we have this, there's a common reason, and then I can much quicker. You see, there all other unified clubs, may I say, are secondary to this one here. And this is not a club, but this is a common denominator where we come together for the purpose of exalting Christ in our life. And you know, there are many graces that God gives to us. Many, many graces that God enables us. There's many times, many powers that God brings to help us live this life. But you know, the armor is only as good as what I do with it, as what I say that I'm going to do with it. You see, God gives me the armor. He gives me the sword of the Spirit. But if I don't intentionally take time and read the Word of God, that sword is in vain for me. If I don't wield the shield of faith, I mean, that thing is doing me no good. You see, God doesn't come down and cause me to get along with you. He's not going to come down and just all right, Dan, you're going to do this today. You're going to get along with him. And he straightens you out against your will. That's not how he works. In the middle of this unity, there is a determined thing, like Daniel said, I will not defile myself and eat the king's meat. I will get along with Stan today because of who Jesus is. I will not be in animosity towards you. There is no union in enmity. Or unity, I should say, in enmity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. And as I look at this diversity and this differences in the body, and we have some that are hard and some that are soft. And you know, I used to be against that. I used to think people need to be more like me. They need to be a little softer, you know, and just act different. But that's not true. That is not true in itself. Now, there are lots of things that are set up in Scripture, like speaking the truth in love. That thing is universal. I don't care what your gift is or what it is. That thing is universal. You can't get away from that. You need to speak the truth in love. But there is room in the body of Christ, and it's needed for the different gifts. And I want to read that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And that's such a powerful set of verses there. If you think of it, I mean, there's a diversity of gifts. But who gives these gifts? There's one Lord. There's one Lord who gave each one of us these gifts. There's one God who is over all. There's one, and the Spirit. And these gifts are given to profit withal. And now, in this diversity, there is a temperance that has to be flowing through us. A temperance that needs to be coming out from my life that is temperate towards each one of us here. And sometimes we need to forbear one another. We just need to get along with each other, because the Bible says to forbear and long suffer with somebody. So if you need to suffer long with me sometimes, you know that's scriptural, so you just need to do it. And so you just need to suffer with some people sometimes. But overall, that is not the end of this thing, though. The end of this is that we have a temperate spirit one towards another, because it's that same Spirit. It's the same Spirit in me as is in Doug. Can you imagine this? And it's the same life that comes into him as is in me. And all around us is that way. It's the same thing. We are attached, really. I just like this picture. Now, just picture this where there is a lifeline from God coming to you, to each one of us. I mean, it's coming down here. And if it all comes back to one bucket, one central big old tub, right? And it's coming down to each one of us. And so the same life, the same juice, the same feed is coming down into each one of us individually. I mean, that needs to come out somehow. That's going to be somewhat resemblance of the unity that was there. I mean, it came out of one unit there. And so what does it look like when there's 30 individuals drinking from the same water trough? We are getting the same thing. We're getting the same life. And there's the same thing coming out of there. And so there has to be a sort of unity that comes through that. That's why I'm saying this thing with temperance. There's a reality of love and of grace and of mercy that I have as a child of God, that in my gift I function according to that. And I'm different, but I function according to that. And we have grace one for another sometimes. We need to have, and when somebody functions out of their gift or out of the grace that ought to be there. And you know, we should never be threatened by that. That's a tough one. We should never be threatened by the differences in other people as they exercise their gift of God. And you're all thinking, maybe, that what really does this thing look like as we have experienced here in this brotherhood? And we have had we've had hard divisions and things that, you know what, I say is let's continue to forbear there. Let's continue to show the love of Christ there. Let's continue to be that example there of temperance, that example of love, that example of life. And somehow, someday, by the will of God, you know, the way that Mark acts towards me, if Mark is very in animosity towards me, and he just doesn't like me, I just turn and rub him the wrong way, and this thing just irritates him. If I would just shut up and sit down, that might just... You know what? I don't have any right anywhere in Scripture, any time, to not love Mark back. That there is no right given anywhere there. And so as spiritual men, as we have this spiritual union with Christ, dear brothers and sisters, we have this oneness with God. This thing comes out in a certain way towards each other. It really does. It comes out in a way that has grace towards me, right? I mean, as we use that example there, And you know what? Like I said earlier, that is where the power of God flows. Jesus said, I say unto you, because he declared something, Peter declared something about who God is. I say unto you this. And that is exactly what happens to us here today, is when we declare the power of God and the life of God. I'm kind of mixed up here a little bit, but as I look at this diversity in the unit, this diversity in the church, there are certain elements, and I shared some of that, just a little bit of that, but there are certain elements that come forth out of that. And you know, there's a love for the brotherhood, and this thing is done in the bond of peace. There's a ruling factor of peace that is a ruling element in this thing here, where when I am in unity with you, and there's a spiritual union with me and God, there's a spiritual union with me and you, and there's a unity of the Spirit, and the ruling element there is the element of peace. And what can I do to bring peace to this situation? And blessed are the peacemakers. And no, we don't make peace at all costs, and we just try to have peace here because that's what you're supposed to do. But you know, when we are together, when there's animosity between a brother, hey, and just a simple going to him and saying, I'm sorry, I want to change this thing around. And the spiritual one goes first. We see that in the kingdom of God. The spiritual one goes first. And that this peace is paramount, really, with God in this unity that God is calling us to. It's a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this bond is a rope that ties us all together. And you know, when we're all together, we're all tied together with, we're linked arm to arm. And the power that this church has is just tremendous when we are all linked together and we have a common goal, and that is to lift up Christ. And that is to see that neighbor over there being converted to Christ. And as we go through this life, it's the power of God flowing out of us. You want the power of God? Then this is a part of it. This is a part of it. We can't have animosity towards our brother and expect the power of God to be here. It's not going to be here. It's not going to be there. And when you think of unity, the GM plant right now, I think it's still going on, but there's like 49,000 workers that are on strike, and they're all together doing this. They're quitting working. They stopped producing cars so that they get some kind of negotiation done so they get a better price and a better, overall paid more wages and a better retirement package. Now, let's just say that half of them decided, you know what, this isn't working. It's good enough what we've got. We're going to go back. We're going to go do this thing. We're just going to go to work. And they go back to work. You see, it kind of defeats the purpose of the rest of them a little bit. I mean, so now there's some of them that went back. And so united in a unit. I mean, there is power when you're united. And you think of this. You think of this unity in the body, in the universal body here. And I spoke this morning about two people. So now let's go to Bronson, Michigan, or let's go to LaGrange, Indiana, or Napanee, or Middlebury, and let's go into a house. And so now we're in your house. And now back up about 4 hours or 5 hours. What did it look like there this about 4 hours ago? As I think of two people with a common goal, two people with one goal in mind, a oneness, and you take a man and a woman, there's not much more different than that. And there's diversity there, as far as you're going to get it, really, in the human race. And yet there's a oneness and a one goal, and we go ahead, and I'd like to think that the children are on board, and they just jump out of bed, and they just do their thing, but that's not reality. But it takes mom and dad to continue pressuring them a bit to get ready. Keturah, maybe yours do, but they need to get you up, maybe. I'm not sure. But that's the power in oneness is just marvelous. I mean, the Tower of Babel, they got together there, and God came down, and he looked at what was going on. And he said, I mean, these guys, if they do this, what in the world next are they going to do? He said, let's confound their language. But the power of oneness in a church, it's phenomenal. And as I look at this word, with every grace endued, and what does endued mean? It means to put on or clothed with. And we're enclosed with all the graces of God. And as a body together, we move forward in the power of God. See, I don't know if you do, but I underestimate the power that is in this oneness. You take a marriage where there's two. I'm just going to use us for an example. I mean, my wife and I, for the most part, we get along very well. And the children, there's a power that the children see here. There's something that they see that they're amazed with, really. And they move ahead, and it gives them a tremendous start in life because of the unity of two people, because of the oneness of two people. And how much more we here as a church. And I bless you for what's happening here. I really do. It's marvelous as they look at the body here and the functioning together and the working together. There's quite a bit more here, but the charter of salvation, I just want to look at that a little bit too. And I'll just give you the meaning of charter. I found it interesting how a songwriter, they take these words and they put the right words into the song that are just powerful. Her charter of salvation, it says this: an instrument in writing from the sovereign power of a state or country, executed in due form, bestowing rights, franchises, or privileges. And so charter, her charter of salvation, it is God who wrote a book. And in this book, he declared how we're going to, the rights that we have as his people. When we trust in him, the rights that we have as his people. Her charter of salvation, it goes on, one Lord, one faith, and one birth. There's just a lot in those verses as well. I don't think I'm going to talk about that too much. But when you think of one Lord, back in the Old Testament, it seemed like God was continually competing with other gods for the right to be the God of these people. And there was a continuous, just idol worship. Idol worship, and it was just an ongoing battle for God, it seemed like. But, you know, in our life today, I think there are things that we get caught up into. And, you know, we were just discussing work this morning, and I don't want to be negative in that way. But yeah, just think about it. Just think in your own life, just what is it? It can be work. It can be laziness, too. It can be the opposite. You know, it's just, what is it? And if it's not, praise the Lord. Every grace endued, the power of God behind us. Can you just picture this power of God pushing this thing ahead? And when you most people are done, exhausted. They are as far as they can go, and they say that you've only used 40% of your energy. When most people are there, you've only used 40% of your energy when you get to that point. You still have 60% left, but your mind is telling you that you're done. And it's really a preservation for your body so that you can continue on if need be. I believe that's what it is. But when you take a Navy SEAL, somebody, you know what a Navy SEAL is? I mean, somebody in the Army, right? But these are some of the highest trained men in the Army. They are trained to do far more than what your normal person would ever do. And there's a 5.5-day training that they do. And in this time of training, this 5.5 days, they exercise for 20 hours a day. In this time frame, they have to run 200 miles. They have to, let me see here. And all of this, they run 200 miles, and all of this is done with a total of just 4 hours of sleep. Not 4 hours a night, but 4 hours of sleep. And this one fellow said by day three, he was already hallucinating and seeing things that were not real. But that's how tired he was. But they push you. They press you. And they need to be able to swim with their hands tied behind their backs and their feet tied together. And now you got to swim like a seal. But this is the things they do for survival. When they get into tight spots, that they're able to do this for survival. And as I think of this, as I do, is our mind trained that God stops at a certain point? Is our mind trained that God's only going to go this far? Or is every grace endued and we're going to go forward and this, whatever it may be, we'll go out, we'll share the gospel. Just the other day, I was, I did a roof for an older couple. I mean, they were quite old. They were in their 80s. And so I just felt like I wanted to share God with them, share Christ with them. And I was in there and they were telling me some of their stories, and he was telling me how he was one of the guys there that saw the first hydrogen bomb explode and how it actually kind of deadened his ears just a little bit because of the noise of this thing, but I don't understand that, but that's a humongous something. A hydrogen bomb is, they said within 7 miles, anything within 7 miles just blew up instantly. But they were sharing their story, and I just said, so what role did Christ play in your life? And you know, they just started unloading of the love they have for God at this point, and the grace and the mercy of God bringing them together. And you know, you're sitting there and you're watching the clock, and you didn't come for this. You didn't come for a 20-minute meeting here. And here this thing keeps on going. And you know, I've got to get going. There's work to be done. But the more that I listened to their story, the more grateful I was. I took that 20 minutes to sit and listen to them. The more that I'm grateful that I talked to them about Christ. You know, in the end of this, she was sitting over here and he was sitting over there, this white-haired old lady that was just all bent out of shape. We held hands and we prayed. We prayed for God's blessing upon them as they continued their life for his glory. And those are the things, dear brothers, those are the things that we're called to do here. That's a part of it. But as a unit, yeah, there's just many more things we could say about that. One more story, I guess, but back in our farming days, as I look at every power, every grace of God being employed in my life. Now, I believe that I am able to stop this power by the things that I choose. And when I say no to this, talking to this older couple, there's a blessing that I'm missing. When I say no to the guy at the gas station, or when I don't do the things that I feel impressed upon my heart to do. We don't employ every grace of God. But back in my farming days, we had a corn grinder. And every Saturday, we would grind corn. And this machine was attached. There was a belt out to a big old diesel motor outside. And I can just remember very clearly how I would go out. We'd start this thing up, and this old diesel would crank out. And you would just put the clutch in gear, and this old corn grinder would come to life. And there, this corn grinder, there was a square, probably about a 2-foot square, maybe something like that, of steel, and on the ends of each one of these corners, there was like 4-inch chunks of steel fastened to it that were loose; they could flop. And when this thing was going, it made quite a racket. And when you dump some corn into there, these teeth would just grind that thing right up. I mean, you didn't want to get your finger caught in there because it was going to be gone. And so as I think of this machine, there was a fan in there as well. This fan would blow it over onto the and to the trailer that we would put the corn onto for the week's supply for the cows. And every part of that machine was working. And if you would have taken one part of that machine out, you wouldn't have got your end result. You wouldn't have got the corn on the wagon. The fan had to work, the belt had to work, the motor had to work. Every piece of that equipment had to work. And if it wasn't working, then you weren't going to get your corn. And really, that is how it is in the church of God, in the community of the saints. When the power isn't unleashed by God in us, when we don't allow God to move in our lives and direct us forward and carry us through these bullets that come at us. We are not, I'm not sure where I was going to go with that. I thought of another thing I wanted to say. But we were at World Missionary Press this past week, and there was somebody there showing a slide, and on this slide there was these black people over in Africa, wherever it was. But the lady who was showing the slide said this lady up on the picture didn't see her husband for 8 months because he was in a dangerous country sharing the word of God. Now, I have a hard job getting away from my wife for a day, and then he was gone for 8 months. For what? For one reason. That was to share Christ. And I believe the power of God needs to reside in us in such a way that we have a passion for the lost. And that's really what the disciples' whole work was when they went out, was to share Christ with the lost and dying world. And yet we gather here together as an encouragement, and that's a wonderful thing, and we unite together and we go forth again. It is really the power of God comes forth in that, and just in a marvelous way. And I don't see it because I don't do it. I don't see it because I don't go forth and I face the bullets. I don't do that. And so I don't see some of those things. See what I'm saying here? I'm stopping the power of God to a degree, but yet the bullets aren't here. I don't want to say that. And also, that when you think of the power of God, the unity and the brotherhood, and how the power of God can come out of that thing, just simply in blessing Beth this morning with prayer, we as a body spoke something, or Doug did, I guess, that was directed towards Beth, actually directed towards God on behalf of Beth. And then there is a life that God can, a work that God can do. And so maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to pray for certain brothers or certain sisters or certain families to go do this. And the church needs to be behind them. And that's still unity. But I think of power. You see, Paul didn't hand out his handkerchief on his first missionary trip. And what I mean by that is, Paul, in his latter years of his ministry, there was aprons and handkerchiefs that came to him, and he would, and people would take them away, and whoever it came in contact with, it healed them, and it took away the, took out the evil spirits. I think that God is looking to each one of us for a time of just believing and trusting God and walking forward in that. And the more we do that, the more we are willing to trust God, the more He entrusts to us in that way. And so what I'm saying with that is, there's a time of growing. We don't go out and we don't kill the devil on the first day. You know, sometimes it happens, but you know, there's a growing there. There's a learning. There's a I don't want to say proving, but yet I think it kind of is. I think God uses that a bit. But I will stop there, and I want to just open it up, and if you have something you'd like to share, you feel free to share it.
People have said, well, we should have a spirit of unity.